Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, peoples? It's 9 o'clock. You're listening to The Bloodshed on Blog Talk Radio's Taboo Fetish Talk. We're freaking late tonight, sort of. I just opened the radio show, so we don't actually have any listeners right now because I'm a slacker. we have Miss Mood Poisoning drinking, what is that? Wine?
No.
Apple juice?
No.
Champagne?
No.
What is it?
Whiskey and Sprite.
Whiskey and Sprite. What's that in a frog?
No, it's a mermaid.
A mermaid.
The whole reason I want to throw parties because I want to use these little mermaids.
Little mermaids.
They're awesome.
We've got Vin here.
Hello.
And we've got Miss Harlot.
Hi.
And we have no listeners. I just freaking real, like, because I'm a slacker.
Or maybe someone will download it later.
Yeah, so download it later or something, but... The whole thing is open. Yeah, so sign on and do stuff because it's awesome.
Not that you can hear him.
Why can't
because
you hear me?
There's no one there.
There's no one listening.
Slacking.
So, yeah, everything is pretty freaking sweet. And
now that no one's listening, we should have like a really kick-ass show.
We're going to have a definite kick-ass show. tonight's topic is going to be about... making mistakes and learning from your mistakes and, you know, trying to identify mistakes, because nobody's perfect, and except for me and Vin, of course, because,
well, of course,
you know, of course Vin's fucking perfect.
Well, he made a huge mistake.
Who made a huge mistake?
Vin.
Why is Vin making mistakes?
He married me.
That's not really a mistake. I mean, he did come out originally with the better end of the deal, and because I screwed the fuck up, and we're not gonna go there. But I redeemed myself, I think. Oh, we have little mermaids.
Oh, I want a mermaid. I want blue one. You guys get pink.
I don't actually want one.
Take a mermaid.
It looks like a retarded Spider-Man.
No. It's got mermaid tits.
Mermaid tits. Remember, you ever watched that Family Guy episode with the merman where he had the fish on the bottom? No, did he have the fish? He had the fish on the top and the human on the bottom. And Lois is mad because, why was Lois mad?
Because she was wanting it to be the other way.
The other way around, but he's like, no, now I have the... But
seriously, how would that work?
The dude junk. Still no one is listening. This is fan-fucking-tastic.
These are gems right here that they're missing, clearly. Reverse
gems. So we're talking about no one being perfect and some mistakes and things like that. once again, this is... what the fuck is this? Oh, yeah. Blog Talk Radio Taboo Fetish Talk, I think. Yeah, with Taboo Fetish Talk.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. This is like my... first show in like a month.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I moved and I have internet access. So you're
then
getting the
Christmas, the New Year's.
Yeah, we're in my new studio now, and we had Christmas, and no one was gonna listen because they're all being family and stuff like that. We were still moving, and then New Year's came and we were still moving, and so
I
now.
I don't think you planned that just so you didn't have to go and do anything.
No,
oh, but it did work out smashingly.
Smashingly. So we're back and we are live. I'm a dork.
Back in the New York groove.
Back in the New York groove. That's it. So I'm gonna digress a little bit here. So apparently no one but me has heard of the cutting for Bieber.
Yeah, no, I have no idea what you're talking about, dude.
So I'm on Facebook, because I'm at work, and at work I do pretty much nothing except like masturbate and screw around and You know, just basically perfect life all night.
That's what you do.
Pretty much. Shut up. I don't know where my little thingy is.
And then you perv the site for people to iFriend request, and apparently you send them one as well.
What, they friend request me.
Don't even pretend.
Vin and I share everything, yes. Except when I'm not allowed to share. Like, things I'm not allowed to share.
Like Kate.
Can't shave. Anywho, okay, so I'm on Facebook the other day because I'm a loser and I really don't have much to do. And I'm like scrolling down and I see kind of like one of those meme things, and it's a bunch of like bloody arms, and I'm like, hey, I'm like, this is pretty fucking cool. So, of course, I click on the picture. And it's all of these girls, and they probably, I guess they're teen, I hope they're teenagers. And it's like their Twitters, and the Twitters say, like, Justin, how could you? And we're going to keep cutting until you stop. And I'm like,
yeah. Oh my God.
And I'm like, you know, of course, I'm like, because I thought, I'm like that. And I'm like, So I kind of got a little upset.
And now, if only the radio could see what people are doing.
Yeah, I almost ate a mermaid. So, I'm gonna read this, and I think this is from GossipCop.com. Never heard of it before, but you know, Google's phenomenal. I think it's something from VH1. And it says, on Monday, pranksters posing as Justin Bieber fans originated a sick online campaign that led to Cut for Bieber and Cutting for Bieber to trend on Twitter, circulating shocking images supporting showing fans with slashed wrists, blades, and blood. So you can see kind of where my, like, fucking antenna's pointed. And then I'm starting to read this. The supposed fans posted the upsetting images along with messages pleading the Bieber to stop smoking marijuana, as he appeared to be doing in his photos released this past weekend. So apparently, because he's like Mr. Thugonomics now, he goes and hangs with rappers. And I guess the rappers are smoking weed, so now he's smoking weed. And the picture that is up here is fucking hysterical.
I heard something about on the radio about all the fallout.
Well,
some picture of him smoking weed.
It looks like he's like, and this is going to date me. It's going to date all of us here, because we would all get this. He looks like one of the new kids on the block.
Seriously?
Doesn't he?
He looks like one of the new kids on the block, Bang Vanilla Ice.
He does kind
of
look like Joey McIntyre there.
The big hair and the whole nine yards.
That's Miss Harlot there doing the whole, she knows the names.
Of course I do.
Because you
had them all.
You had them all?
Well, I wish I had them all. I was too young.
You were too young? You were like 11?
Yeah, and now Jordan Knight looks like a fucking pedophile. Like, it's scary.
Kate,
did you see him on that commercial for the Old Navy thing?
I don't know who these people are. So anyway, so I guess the thing is now they're cutting themselves, or I guess it's like a hoax that they were cutting themselves to make him stop, and they're going to keep cutting themselves until he stops smoking weed. And I think that's fucking adorable.
Well, if we keep getting pictures like that, I hope he never fucking stops. I hope he becomes like Snoop Dogg.
Well, on the fucked up part is, like, I was kind of like that for somebody. I think we all had like that musical person that we were all like, because I used to like get upset over like a certain somebody, and I'm not gonna say who.
Because... Oh, say it! Come on, no one's listening.
No, we got guests now.
Who's our guest?
I don't know. We have guests. Hi, guests. I didn't just wave, by the way.
No, he didn't.
So,
What is she talking about? That you wrote the wrong day?
Blog Talk Radio, for some odd reason, is a day ahead.
Oh.
It's always a day ahead, the actual link, so.
So the link must be in another time zone then, yeah?
Yeah, it's we don't, time zone? I think this is out of, like, England or something, I don't know. Anyway, who cares?
Well, until we know who you are, yes, you're
not. No, that's the fossil. Hi, fossil.
Hi, fossil.
So, yeah, I'm hope, like, it's, like, so funny, because, you know, being the blood guy, she's razor blade pictures. And like, it kind of upset me. Like, I was like, it was like disappointing, because I couldn't.
But it's the ultimate inside joke, because they're cutting, they're joining the dark side over something stupid.
Well, the whole thing is stupid. Like, I don't know. It's Justin.
The teenage girl with Drama Holland. We'll find a reason to.
Teenage girls?
Yeah.
Or lifestyle people.
Or lifestyle.
Or any women up until the age of, you know, 90.
Because let's be realistic. I mean, this 25. Being in the lifestyle, especially local to us, it's like being in high school again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun. Except for now I'm popular.
What? So yeah, except for now you're popular. Yeah.
Me.
Too bad you weren't popular in high school. They could have retired, like, your number underneath. Like, now there's nothing to retire your number. The rolls of fat.
Yeah, he was a chubby boy.
See, I'm the opposite. Now, I used to be this little skinny punk. I used to be a swimmer, and now I'm a fat guy.
You were a swimmer, really?
Yeah, I was a swimmer.
Sorry.
That
you
should
rude.
See that way
first.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to see these pictures.
Me in a Speedo?
I think we should have him post them up on FetLife.
I don't know where they are.
Can't. He was underage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was underage. Someone posted, you know what, though? Someone posted a picture of their kid on there, and I wonder if they had to take it down. Because I posted the picture.
Well, you're supposed to.
Who posted a picture of their kid on set?
It was, like, my husband and the kids. I don't know. Someone did. I saw it. Well, I posted a picture with no one's face of, like, a little, like, 10-year-old kid wearing my Trojan condoms hat.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Why? Because he was a kid wearing a Trojan condoms hat.
Isn't that funny?
Okay.
It's funny to me.
Did you have to take it down?
They took it down for me.
Oh.
Yeah, they were like, fuck you guys. But someone asked who's here. So we have to my right and, like, clockwise, counterclockwise, we have Miss Mood Poisoning, and then we have Miss Harlot, and we have Vin, and, of course, there's me, your host with the least bloodlust.
Yay!
So.
Then we have a demon child.
I don't want Data Mermaid.
No.
No?
Stay there.
No, no.
A call button.
Yeah, it comes up on the left side of the screen.
What button? What are we talking about?
Because it's on FetLife. Okay. Not FetLife, Facebook.
Oh, is that Facebook?
It's
Facebook.
Is somebody coming in to chat?
No.
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 I got to find my this. All right, so there's that. Anywho.
Why'd you close it?
Because it just goes where it goes.
Loose lips think ships.
I don't know. Someone who found me on FetLife, apparently they had added me a long time ago, and like so many people do on FetLife, is they're like, I hate this, and everybody's mean to me, and I can't do this, so I'm going to threaten to take my profile down. And then they send, you know, and then, of course, everybody goes, please don't take your profile down, you're so pretty, and we like you. So they go, no, because so-and-so guy pissed me off, so now I'm going to take it down. So it goes about 3 months, and they finally take it down. Then, you know, 3 months later, they put it back up under a totally different name, and then, you know, then they start adding all the people that they already had. So it's kind of like
redundant.
It's like, like for me, it'd be like if I went and, like, sold my car and then, like, drove a rental for 3 months, and I was like, nah, I think I want that car back. I didn't even go back and, like, pay more money for it.
Didn't you do that?
Actually, no. This comes full circle back to basically what we were talking about earlier when you pulled my head out of my ass for doing something stupid. Someone take down your fucking profile just because someone is a tool.
Well,
like, talk to your friends. No. No, I didn't take down my profile, but I was talking about getting out of the lifestyle altogether because of one douchebag dumb.
Well, and that's because you're a tool.
No.
I was new. There's a difference.
And that's the problem, is that there's so many people who say, you know, to do this, 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 or this for the wrong reason. And, you know, like, oh, we support you for taking down your profile and stuff like that. So, you know, I guess in that fight or flight situation, when there really is no fight, you really don't have a choice but the flight. So people are like, you know, and it's a fucking, of course, it's a, like a, not a cry for help, but like an attention, like, wavy thing.
No,
like,
it's very simple. If someone is making your life hell, you don't have to take down your entire profile, block their asses, check their stock profiles, don't friend anybody new, and maintain your current friendship, and just don't answer your phone. Very simple.
And that's the entire show, so we're going to...
That's my sum up.
That's the show. So...
I think we're doing this backwards.
Why is it backwards?
Sum up after everything?
Well, no, I mean, the point is, yes, you made a mistake.
You should learn from the mind and do that.
Learn from it.
I should do what?
Close down your entire life.
So log into yours and do it.
Does it?
Hey, guess who has a fucking new ass smartphone that is bigger than my television set that I'm staring at. Jesus phone?
Jesus phone. I put my redneck at work phone. Jesus phone.
Redneck. No, my penis works.
Not omnipotent.
I don't have. I need a rim shot
really
there.
Do.
Not yeah. So, we're getting like way off topic, but we're 15 minutes in, so this is great.
I just tried it to topic, and then you made him get on his phone.
And then you made him get on his phone. I know, but
it sucks.
I do suck. I'm a horrible person, and so
cute.
I'm cute. so that was like my whole thing. I got a lot of neat stuff happening. Next week's show, we've already got next week's show planned. I don't know who's going to be on. I never know who's going to be on. It's sort of like a half hour before. It's like, hey, you want to come be on the radio show? And everyone's like, sure. They're like, fuck. Dude, Miss Harlot's fucking toenails are like crimson.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's my favorite color. You want to know what it's called? I know you'll know.
What?
It's the most popular OPI color ever.
Lincoln Park After Dark?
No, it's called I'm Not Really a Waitress.
I'm Not Really a Waitress? You're a hooker? No. Well, I guess that's why they call you Miss Harlot.
I'm on the radio with bloodlust and a lot of people.
I'm on the radio with bloodlust and a lot of people.
My mermaid just tried to dive into my phone.
We have Suicidal Mermaids. It's the name of my next band. Okay.
Well, this is special. I'm on the radio live, or on the radio with love busting a lot of people. Mermaid when I stand.
So for some odd reason, Vin doesn't like to use text messaging like normal people. He likes to speak because he thinks he's cool, and then it screws up and it says like bloodlust is in a lot of people with mermaids or whatever, which is great. But we should get back on topic. I never have a topic. Anywho, so also during the show at some point, I'm sure there's going to be haircuts going on, and we're also probably going to be putting a home theater system going on. And guys, you can call in at 213-943-3601. Once we kind of get things going, you can call in.
Do you have the right number this time?
I do. Yeah, I always screw up the number, and I give them the wrong number, and then they're like, what the fuck? So back on topic. So my point is, and I was thinking about this, reading a lot of stuff on FetLife and just going through people's profiles, and people, a lot of new people have been popping up, especially locally, asking me like where I go and what I do and things like that. And, you know, and I guess they're like, well, I'm new and I don't know. And I'm scared and things like that. And they're like, what if, you know, and a lot of people are like, what if I mess up? Like, what if I do something wrong? What if I don't know? What if something goes bad? And, you know, I have to explain, you know, like, you know, Spanish?
Spanish wine.
It's a Spanish wine. So I'm going to have to poop, you know, a little bit here because it's going to go through my body.
It's not Mexican. It's Spanish.
Mexican.
You know what that means? You two have to hold the show.
Why?
Because I'll have to poop.
Who will have to poop?
You just said it.
Oh, well. And, you know, I kind of explained to them, these people, back on topic, that, you know, not everything is going to go according to plan. Not everything is always going to go perfectly. And they go, you know, have you messed up? And, of course, you know, I've messed up. Not into an extreme, you know, sense, because with me, you can't screw up that, you don't have that, you know, leeway. But, I mean, everybody has messed up at some point because you have to. I mean, it could be, like, a difference in, you know, maybe a slap on the butt misplaced or a whole relationship just going down the tubes.
I heard, whoops, I hit her in the kidney.
Yeah. Did I hit you in the kidney?
I was talking about you. I was just saying in general.
Oh, because that would have been awesome. They need to be pissing blood.
Yeah, no. That would have been a nice little remembrance, but no.
Yeah. I did ejaculate blood for 6 weeks.
Yeah, you're sort of special.
That was...
All the people for that to happen to, like, seriously, that's the funniest thing ever.
that's like karma.
You know what it was? It was a sign, because you were with a mistake at the time. Just saying. And well, look, you recovered.
I know. So.
Which would be the point of the show, yeah? Recovery?
Well, it's admitting you're wrong, or coming off of something that went horribly wrong, or how to identify a mistake when you really don't know. And who are these people that can you can rely on to kind of help you through your mistake, or the mermaid is drowning. is that possible? Can they live? No.
We're getting sidetracked again.
Yeah. Sidetracked. Okay.
So,
mistakes. Should we go around and say mistakes?
No. Well, someone just let my mistake out of the bag.
Yeah.
But,
I don't like that feel.
Well,
it can be as simple as a slip of the hand. It can be as simple as selecting the wrong play partner. You know, everybody makes mistakes in this lifestyle. It's a wide range.
I think a lot, like, my biggest mistake that I can, is that I tried to have a relationship with somebody that should have been a play partner, that should have been strictly, you know, I'm their top and she's my bottom, or I'm their sadist and she's my masochist, because we took what was working really well as far as a, you know, lifestyle relationship, and we sort of developed feelings for each other, and the relationship was from day one.
This is extremely common. It's common to develop emotional attachments to someone you're playing with. Like, don't ever think that you're not going to. Like, it's very, very common.
And there should be some sort of, you know, there should be a relationship. There should be a, you know, some sort of understanding.
Well,
and there should...
it's a complete exchange of trust.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where that's involved, yes, most people are going to have that emotional exchange. Because a lot of people aren't comfortable with doing that anywhere outside of the lifestyle.
Right. And I feel that what a lot of people do is, because they have such a great time playing with each other or engaging with each other in the BDSM, you know, realm, that they automatically try to force it into a romance. And, you know, instead of it just, and especially with sex, where we are, you know, we are doing things that are arousing to the both of us. So obviously the natural progression is that we have to sleep together. And if we're sleeping together, then of course, then we have to be sort of romantically involved. And then if I'm romantically involved with this person, then of course, what are you looking at me for? Then,
I'm looking at him.
Then of course we have to stop, you know, then no one else can engage with this person. And usually the sad thing is that it's usually one party getting that in their head, and the other party is normally not on the same level. And that's where that giant kind of, you know, headstrong behavior and that clash comes in. Like for me, you know, I mean, even today, with that specific person, had our relationship not gotten to that point, our romantic relationship not gotten to the point where it was just awful. And then, you know, for years, I kind of went into some sort of like downward spiral and went absolutely fucking insane. And now that I'm sort of leveled off, now she's gone absolutely batshit crazy publicly and is, you know, wanting the things that we did back then with no real romance, where I would tell her, like, I need my fix. And of course she understood what that means. And, you know, like, I don't want you to move back. What's that?
We switched to the other mistake. Okay. I'm on board.
No, I'm actually talking about, like, my old donor, like, that's been my person since the get-go, not the other.
I thought you were talking about the other.
and that, you know, that kind of thing was, like, even to this day, like, had our, you know, like, if the relationship didn't get into turmoil, like, could I see her at a play event or a dungeon or something like that? And because we both understood what was going on some sort of just strictly BDSM level, could I play with her today? Like, absolutely. Because I know what she could handle, I know what she could take. Like, we both enjoy that aspect of it. But because of the romantic relationship that was forced, you know, we both basically pushed for it, and it was just awful. I mean, there was lies, deception, infidelities, and things like that. Now, of course, like, we can't be in the same room together because it's just going to be awful. you know? And, of course, because we force that romantic thing, that trigger still happens. So if we were to do something like that, then it's going to open up all those old wounds. With the person that Ms. Harlett and Vin were talking about, that was actually...
I was not talking about anybody.
Well, you mentioned, made mention.
You looked at me.
So that person could have been awesome, maybe, if we would have kept things strictly... I'm getting looks. Things could have been better. Because things could have been better than they were.
You're talking to the wrong crowd on that one.
Okay. Well, things could have gone in a different direction. Had we maybe...
lobotomies?
If we had never met, you know.
If you had never met, then yes, things could have been totally different.
My point is that maybe if we had, you know, gone to maybe a romantic vanilla relationship and didn't try to force the BDSM part, you know, then maybe that would have worked out better. Like, I'm glad it didn't, because that was just a nightmare to begin with.
Give me something to hit with.
Yeah.
But... point.
With that one.
We're not playing what if with that one. I'm trying to own up to my mistakes.
All right, own up to your mistakes. That was a colossal fuck up.
It was a colossal fuck
across
up.
Across the board.
Because
it worked out well for me.
Oh, shut up.
Well, yeah, it worked out well for Ben.
Got crazy out of my hands. I got something nice in return. It worked out great.
Yeah. And I guess the point is, and like, I'm glad that she doesn't listen to this radio show, but you can only polish a turd so much and before you realize that you're just holding a turd. So that's like been my mistakes as far as like, you know, in a play structure, you know, like I always come back to, yeah, I know the fossil agrees with me.
No, the fossil.
The fossil.
You know the fossil? I know the fossil. How do you know the fossil?
Because Vin knows people, but then...
I know people's faces.
Fossil and I go way back.
Yeah, back to fossil days. Yeah. Or the night you met the sad professor.
Oh.
I think she was there.
This mermaid has nipples, not just boobs.
Nipples as well?
There are mermaid nipples.
There are definitely nipples on this mermaid. For the record.
Cool. Nipples. Mermaid nipples. As far as play, as far as like my mistakes in play, you know, like aside from the normal stuff, like when I was in college, like 9 years old.
Let's talk technique. When you first started off, you clearly made mistakes. Like that's how you learn.
I tried to tie someone to the bed using a tow rope. Like boating, like nylon rope.
Seriously?
And she was getting like nylon splitters. It was hysterical.
That's my favorite part of 50 Shades of Grey. Fucking nylon rope sales went up like 50%.
No, this
is 50 Shades of Grey. Nylon rope? Seriously, people?
Well, you can use like the, like a lot of the...
Do you have a message, your royal sexiness?
Really?
I can't believe that was on the radio. But I have...
You have what?
I have messages popping up. No one can find my show. I love it. It's like, oh, we can't find your show. Like, how can you not find my show? I posted links all over the place. People drive me nuts. So, of course, and you know, but the thing is like, Home Depot, like, they sell, like, this... this rope that's okay, I would think, for tying somebody up. It's like a thin fiber. Am I wrong? Or you should like look.
No, don't use that to tie people up.
I don't fucking know. But that's, I didn't even buy that. I bought like a pack, like a nylon, like in a package, like probably like it was like marine rope. Like, I had no fucking clue. I didn't have anyone to teach me.
You gotta go pee in Narnia.
In Narnia. So like that was my, that of course was like my big thing. And like, you know, since then, you know, I've made mistakes. Vin We were at a local party, and it wasn't like I didn't really do anything, but I was like making a mistake. There was a giant table, and I just and behind me I was doing knife play, and behind me there was people walking by, and I didn't realize like I'm like in the walkway. I just have like, and Vin comes over and he pats me on the shoulder. He's like, "What the hell are you doing?" Because he can do that to me, you know. He's just
that kind of special guy.
He doesn't be like professional, and I was like, "What?" And he's like, "No, I hadn't even like started yet. I was just kind of setting up." And so we like, but it's like that's still a mistake, and it was like a tiny little mistake, which is fine.
Yeah.
But it could have progressed to a giant mistake. you know, me stabbing somebody in the back, which I have done, not figuratively, like actually stab somebody in the back. You know,
this was an accident.
What?
What?
I did? I scratched your mole?
Remember that was the whole problem with all the blood, blah, blah, blah.
At the castle?
Yeah, you scratched my mole.
Well, there was that, and then...
Polish. I had a lot of moles.
Okay, so Miss Harlot's Polish, and I scratched her mole. Sorry.
No, that was a whole big
problem.
Like, it was a big deal with me.
No, it was a big problem because... And then I paper cut somebody else using like a little claw, like stupid. But that's like not a mistake. The cutting the mole was a mistake, but I didn't realize I shouldn't have played like in this dark red. It was
it's horrible lighting.
I was in. Are you seriously peeing and talking?
No, I'm not peeing. I'm going after
ice. Oh, okay. So you know, things like that should have just silly things that I should really pay attention to a lot more often, but I don't. You know, that kind of stuff happens. My computer won't work now.
Well, you're in the same thing over and over again? Seriously, I think you get the idea.
Now she's peeing. So, things like that, just bad lighting, and, you know, I guess it's more of like a, unfortunately, like a live and learn type of thing, even though it's not really a live and learn. Like, I'm sure, Vin, you being a DM and at, you know, Fetish Circuit for a number of years, working at the Woodshed for a number of years, and, you know, being, like, being one of the DMs at one of the premier fetish events in the country at Fetish Con, like, you've seen so many mistakes happen, I'm sure you can't even, like, your head would spin.
It currently is. Yes, I've seen a lot of shit. But I don't like, you know, thousands of other people's shit out there, so...
Well, you don't have to, like, say, like, hey, this person did this, but, like, what's, like, some of the mistakes that you've seen, or I'm sure there have been mistakes that you've made, because you actually, one of those people that we were just talking about, that was a mistake, although he kind of got out, like, when the getting was
good.
Well,
okay, here's the thing. With mistakes, yeah, I owe up to whenever I have them, and then I forget about them. I learned my lesson, but I forget about everything anyway.
What?
But,
He said you're a mistake.
I'm a mistake?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's the mistake I ever made. But, yeah, no. Like, things are going to happen. You just have to own up to them.
Well, we know things are going to happen because, there is no perfection.
What mistake did you say other than marrying me?
He didn't make him. He said, I'm not going to throw anything out there because he's fucking perfect.
Really? You're not own up to one. Come on, that's the topic of the show.
When have I made one with you?
Seriously? I'm gonna ask you this 2 glasses of wine in.
Absolutely. We have 5 people waiting to listen.
5 people waiting to listen on my memory of a mistake you've made.
What do you do? Like, fucking take, like, forgetting pills or something?
Okay, listen, I was shot and blown up. I have perfectly good reason.
I just, on the spot, I can't think of something. And I guarantee you, 20 minutes later, I'll be like, oh, God, this.
Why do you think I put her on the spot?
Vin doesn't want to, like...
Okay. Protocol. Mistakes all the time with that one. I forget all sorts of shit.
Well, yeah.
You know, give a friend a hug. Oh, wait, it's a big catastrophe because I gave someone a hug.
Well, okay, let's go.
Oh, okay, no, here's one. Before I learned all the things that I know about rope now, I used 550 cord that restrained someone's ankles and wrists.
And why is that a mistake?
And what is 550 cord?
It is very, very thin rope that apparently will cut off circulation to your wrists and ankles.
I don't see the I don't see the problem.
Because you're a sadist.
So am I, but still. Apparently unsafe practices.
Okay. And I guess you learned never to do that again.
Well, yeah, because someone jumped down my throat. It was a long time ago. I don't remember exactly what they said, but...
And did you freak out and swear that you would never be a part of the lifestyle ever, ever again?
No,
of
course not.
Or did you learn from it?
I learned from it, moved on.
And I'm sure that whoever jumped down your throat did so in a respect. Like, you know, a lot of the things are, is that, like, especially with rope and especially going out to, like... And the fucked up part is there's so many different people doing different things. Like, I can tell you, like, within, you know, this area here, going from, like, Sarasota to Tampa to Orlando, I could name probably, like, 35 rope groups that are out there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the one rope group, and I know that Professor Oney and I talked about this, the one rope group. The one rope group thinks that everything the other rope group does is, like, the wrong thing to do. So, like, I'm sure that, you know, that what you did, like, someone came and was like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, this is the wrong thing to do. And, of course, that was a really long time ago.
It was. And it's not necessarily was the wrong thing to do. It was just the wrong rope to use in that area.
Well, of course. It's a mistake.
It's a mistake.
You know?
You learn from it, you move on.
Like, obviously, I would never try to tie somebody up again with fucking boat cord, you know, like, I wouldn't do that, but I was, like, dumb, and I admit, like, I was stupid, I didn't know what I was doing, neither did she, so.
I know, I've made so many mistakes, I.
Once she let some dude, this is crazy, like, put a fucking straight razor between her fucking crotch.
That was hot, that was not a mistake.
It was still a mistake.
That was not a mistake,
that was
you
awesome.
Were, you still can't really get rid of that guy.
It's because he's sitting right next to you.
And he's awesome. That guy sucks. I think we should die.
That was one of my favorite memories. That was amazing.
And the crotchless panties. That was great.
Here's a mistake. Giving my ex-dom the other pair. I never got those back.
How much shit? Dude, that's a great thing. How much stuff do you buy as, like, a couple? Like, your fetish stuff? And you buy as, like, a couple, or, like,
no,
you buy to
use... No, this was not as a couple. No. This was a douchebag encounter, and he went, give me your panties. And I went, okay. Never saw those fuckers again.
Of course not. And you know what? He's probably sitting at home right now, stroking himself to some, like, weird fucking porn on.
That's okay. I cut the cord.
But that's, like...
What's looking for you?
He wanted it back. I didn't give it back.
But that's, like, the fucked up part. Like, I know with my ex, she bought cuffs, like these big metal fucking cuffs we're supposed to use them together and stuff, and of course, like, we broke up like one of a million times, and she threw them in the garbage. Yeah.
That's rude.
Threw them in the
TMI.
She threw them in the garbage, and what else? Something else that she bought. It was like a bunch of stuff, like.
Well, to be fair, I have thrown toys away that I bought specifically for the couple. Like, to the point that if I look at those items again, like, forget using them with another person. If I look at them again, just using them privately, it's too fucked up to keep them. So, yes, I've thrown away toys. I've thrown away lingerie. Or there's some that I've kept for my significant other to tear off of me, as in for to destroy. That's been a fun experience. Emotional restitution, as far as I'm concerned.
I was pissed because I really liked them. Plus, I had the locks to them.
So many mistakes. Number one would be, like, the number one thing that I think I fucked up in this lifestyle would be falsely giving emotion where it wasn't real. When my first first play partner... There's a lot of emotion, you know, and I had done all the reading. I had read everything about it, and everyone said you'll have false emotion. Everything I ever looked at, stumbled upon, said, first play partner, just don't jump at it. Like, you're going to give them trust that you would not give anybody else. And do not fall prey to this. And I did. I was around this person 24/7 as much as possible. And the first second that I came up for air, first time that we were apart for 48 hours, I suddenly realized, oh my God, I have absolutely no real emotion for this person, and this has all been smoke and mirrors, and what have I gotten myself into? And the illusion was gone. And that was a month in. And it was a crazy month, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't replace it. Like, it was a great learning experience for me. My only regret is that I hurt him in the process.
And I think, you know, when you find something new, especially being new in this lifestyle, that you are afraid to go at half pace.
Mm-hmm.
And work your way up to, you know, all out balls to the wall, 100 miles an hour, where because you find these douchebags
mm-hmm.
who expect 110%, they expect you on point.
24/7 service-oriented DS relationship.
And you don't know any better because you've never experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it seems so surreal and so exciting mm-hmm. and so fascinating all at the same time. And then before you know it, you're tweezing ear hair and wondering what the fuck you've been doing. And it becomes very disenchanting. And it can be very disturbing. I mean, you remember what I was like
yeah.
around that time. I was, when it fell apart, and because all the reading I had
really got my hands when she drinks much more.
was about
she's better when she's drunk.
Everything I read was about couples.
Yeah,
that you have to be in a couple in this relationship or in this lifestyle. And it was, in my opinion, full.
Mm-hmm.
Which you straightened me out on. Well, not because of any reading, but because of people that I spoke to. All the reading out there is all about couples. How to bring couples into the lifestyle. How to bring your significant other into the lifestyle. Nothing is out there for single people.
And I realize when you were coming out of your first relationship that had that, and I know that you had dabbled in it a little bit here and there, but it was like a one-time thing. You just wanted to be roughed up a little bit.
Yeah,
but
I was looking for kinky sex, and I went up in a complete service-oriented 24/7
right.
DS relationship.
And I had just gotten out of my relationship that I mentioned earlier where I was kind of – my head was to the birds, and I didn't realize really what was going on. And, you know, I was back to being single. I was back to being single – coming out of a majorly DS relationship with a fucked up romance.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but no, the best advice that you gave me, the absolute best advice, and I still remember it to this day. You probably don't even remember what you said.
Probably not.
But I still remember it to this day was this lifestyle is what you make of it. Whatever you want it to be, like literally anything that
mm-hmm.
you want it to be, that's what it is.
And that,
you know, if you want to be single in it, if you want to be a couple in it, it does not matter. Anything flies.
And it's funny because I remember, you know, speaking about what you see and what's out there and what you can read. Like, I remember watching The Secretary.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing
The
it.
Secretary.
But it's a great movie. And it's
the only BDSM love story that's out there.
Yes. And to me, the only thing I caught from it was like, the girl who sits at my desk and pisses herself in her wedding dress, that's it, I'm done. That's the only thing that I caught from that. And, like, you know, talking, like, my ex, you know, talking about, like, you know, getting married and proposing things like that because I was fucking stupid, big mistake, had I gone through with it. But, like, you know, she never would have done something like that. And I remember looking he was a single guy, and he just had no clue what he was just a wacko. And then...
Well, my only issue with The Secretary, and I've said this to you before, like, the only issue I have with it, I love the movie. Don't get me wrong. Love the movie. My only issue is that
the fact that she was in a mental institution severely discredits her for the vanilla crowd.
Yes.
The vanilla people are looking at it and going, oh, this is for mentally disturbed people. This is for people who are not normal.
And on the flip side, what him being a professional,
mm-hmm.
you know, and her going into a, you know.
Well, professional, but from a horribly, I mean, you've seen what his ex-wife looked like,
yes.
which she's a phenomenal actress. She nailed it to the T.
Right.
But he came from, clearly, a highly controlling,
mm-hmm.
very aggressive female relationship prior
right. Right.
and needed a sense of control.
Which, but, you know, and of course, that was, to me, seeing somebody in a, who, well, a, what? The mermaid. A well-to-do person engaged in, because we're not all scum of the earth. We're
no,
not all,
no.
you know, like.
And I love the fact that they didn't make it look like a dungeon. In fact, in the behind-the-scenes stuff, they talk about how they made it very natural and
uh-huh.
in a mm-hmm. organic environment, which I appreciate, the
right.
fact that they didn't make it look dark and ridiculous.
Right. The thing about the secretary, and this is, like you were saying, like, yeah, it's very fucking convenient to have your secretary be your bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because you are going to have that, you could have, and they did have that 24-7
mm-hmm.
relationship because they were with each other, you know, 12 hours a day.
And then she's calling him while she's at fucking Thanksgiving, and he tells her to eat 3 peas and 6 bites of mashed potatoes.
Right.
And that's adorable. I love that.
Right.
But the fact that she was a cutter, great, show she's a cutter. Lots of us are. You know, that's a normal baggage.
Dude, her naked body with the fucking scars, I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
I loved her in the little bathtub thing with the little seashells and the crazy tacky stuff. That was just adorable thing.
Maybe she was a Bieber fan.
Why did she have to be in an institution? If they had cut that out completely, it would have been a much better show.
I can understand. Unfortunately, I can understand it.
Because the sadist looks perfectly normal and professional. But the bottom looks like she's fucking out of her mind.
But the thing about...
I'm going to point out that she did not willingly go to the mental institution. Someone physically
she was
put her there.
Yes.
Someone put her there.
Which is
there are
even
people
more.
That I know that if knew, like, all of this would fucking
probably
be
put you there.
Banging down the door to have me committed.
And I'd be right next to you. Like, really? We're not insane. We're
I don't.
Not
I don't
people.
Mind. They have a
Why?
Bed for me, and they leave a little mint on the pillow.
That is cute.
There's
I feel
pads
like
in the wall.
And there's pads
the
on the wall. And it's a wonderful, comfy place. But nonetheless, like in this time and age, a bottom should not have to be clinically insane to be palatable as a bottom in vanilla scenario, like 50 Shades of Grey.
She
as stupid as the fucking book is, I hate the fact that now the top is insane. Like, it's a trade-off. It's like, secretary, okay, bottom's insane, we're fine. 50 Shades of Grey, top is insane. But the bottom, she's a virgin, she doesn't know better. Oh, poor her.
So now he's the bad guy.
No, now
sort
he's
of.
The bad guy.
Well, the thing about the secretary, and we're kind of getting off topic, but it's a great topic. The thing about the secretary is that If you really look at it from a psychological standpoint, is that she wasn't crazy, like she was disturbed, but she wasn't crazy.
Well, okay.
She couldn't figure out
the four of us and probably the people listening understand that. What
uh-huh.
pisses me off is the vanilla world looking at this.
Yeah, but he put her back in line.
Yeah.
So and then she was okay, like. To me, you know, the part that gets to, like, her sitting in the wedding dress, pissing herself, that's fucking insane.
Have you ever watched the behind the scenes on it?
That's
yes.
Determination.
Okay. I love the behind the scenes on it when I can't remember if it's the writer or the director, I think it was one of the writers, is handing this off to people in Hollywood. And they're, like, halfway through reading it.
There's pizza in the, we already did. There's pizza in the fridge.
Four.
Now you tell me.
Sorry.
When they're, like, halfway through the script and they're calling up the writer and going, so, who fixes her? Like, is it the boyfriend? Is it him? Like, who fixes her? Like, when does she get better? When does she realize this isn't healthy? Who fixes her?
no one. There's nothing wrong with her. That's the only time that I was, like, jumping up and celebrating, because that movie pissed me off, because she was, quote-unquote, unwell.
Well, any time that...
But the writer saying there was nothing wrong with her, it's a BDSM love story. Like, this is the story. It's about her journey. It's not about her well-being, quote-unquote. And yes, I'm quoting with my hands right now.
The thing about it is, and like for me, going to that, like, I'll tell people, like, I hurt people. Like, I have to hurt people. Like, if I don't hurt them voluntarily, I will hurt them involuntarily. Like, and then they go, well, why do you do that? And I'm like, because I've been hurt in the past. People have fucking hurt me. So in order to maintain, I go and hurt other people.
Everybody handles hurt in different ways.
Absolutely.
Some of us prefer to be punished for hurting other people. Some of us prefer to hurt people.
And it works. You know, I don't think I'm clinically insane.
No.
But how did we get on the secretary?
I don't remember.
Mistakes?
Let's not revert.
I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
That should be a whole show, though.
That really
should accurate
be a show.
Portrayal in the media.
Oh my god, that I could go on for.
It would
hours.
Be tough. It would be
I
tough
really
to
could.
Do that
because there's not a lot of
that's,
accurate
that's,
portrayal.
That's one of my high horses. That's one of my soapboxes. Like, I really could go on for hours.
Well, even when we watched Kink, that show Kink, I thought that was like that's like all bad. Like, because I'm not gay. Like, I'm like, it's gay Canadians, I get it, but I'm not gay. Like, I don't like to stick wieners in my mouth or have my wiener in anyone else's.
But when you consider everything within the media, within Hollywood, everything starts with the gay. What the gays are into, that's what predicts what's about to come out. The gays and then the teenage girls.
What about gay teenage girls?
Gay
they just rule
girls?
Everything. That's why Justin Bieber is...
Gay teenage girls, that's how Sophie B. Hawkins becomes popular. I don't know.
Who is Sophie B. Hawkins?
Damn, I wish I was her lover. Seriously?
Is this a song?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I think about you, I touch myself.
That's the Divinyls.
Was it? I thought that was Sophie B. I know she did Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover. Anybody?
When I think about you,
listening?
I touch
myself.
Anybody
want to comment on that?
I don't know.
Who's accurate?
Sophie B. Hawkins?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, continuing.
Guys.
Do not kick yourself over and over and over for your mistakes. That's why you seek out this lifestyle. This lifestyle is because you have made horrific mistakes in normal, everyday life.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Why do you say it like
that?
Everybody
who seeks this out has made ridiculous mistakes. Because
they're
they
not
have
strippers.
Either, no, well, some of them are. But we're not excluding the stripper vibe.
I like strippers.
No, you've either made a horrific mistake in a vanilla lifestyle, in a vanilla relationship, and gone, I wanted something else. This isn't working out. You've put your faith in someone that's completely horrible. But that's why people seek out this lifestyle. They've had... Everybody in this lifestyle has baggage.
Everybody has baggage.
But even, okay.
It's exponentially, more prevalent here.
Yeah, it is more prevalent here. Everybody here has baggage.
Yeah.
And, of course, with that amount of baggage, you're going to make mistakes. It's either going to be in a relationship, it's going to be during technique, it's going to be... something that you're going, oh my god, that just crippled me. I can't believe I just did that. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, whether it's making out with somebody stupidly at a party. The point is, you can always recover. Always. This lifestyle, this community is so forgiving. It really is. And all you have to do is raise up your hand and go, dude, my bad.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily it should be forgiving. Unfortunately, it's not.
Well, maybe more forgiving for bottoms than for tops.
Well, bottoms can do no wrong. anytime.
I wouldn't say that.
That's a lie.
That's a lie.
No, I'm talking about the perception. I'm talking about, you know, the misconception that the bottom can do no wrong. You get what I'm saying?
We do a lot of wrong, but because we do so much wrong, bottoms are very forgiving. Like, we all go, oh, dude, we've done that.
And,
okay,
well,
that's cool.
Think about why. The amount of tops compared to the amount of bottoms are like a hot commodity.
Mm.
I mean, if you think about it, the thing about, you know, no matter how small
it is. It's funny. It depends on which demographic you're in to declare which is more prevalent.
Take a submissive male or a male bottom. Those are like fucking unicorns.
Mm.
I mean, there's someone in our chat room who gets a lot of attention because he is a male submissive or a male bottom.
Who?
I'm not going to say names. Maybe he doesn't want me to tell who they are. Considering there's only one person. There's only one other person. that is...
Oh, I love him! And Sugar, you would not mind me saying this. So, he's adorable.
I know he's adorable. And, but he may, you know, but like a male top, okay? A male rope top. You go to any party and you could throw a fucking rock and hit one.
Hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
let's be realistic. So, of course, the demographics are going to be a little bit different. But, you know, the mistakes that are made, the problem is it's hard for a top. A top doesn't want to usually admit that he's wrong.
Well, okay, I'll give you this. For the rope tops that I've had that have, quote unquote, been an unappealing experience for me, the fault probably lies on me for not telling them that it was unappealing because of X, Y, and Z. What is my decision at the end of it? Oh, I'm just not going to play with them anymore because probably whatever they have is kind of their wrapped up package.
They have a repertoire. They have a theme or they have a...
They have a thing that they do and that's
a routine.
And for me, as a bottom, to tell them, hey, I really wasn't crazy about X, Y, and Z... is a bit tacky.
Why?
That's a common preconception, because they're a top and I'm a bottom.
So you're not allowed to have any sort of say, any sort of opinion?
No, I just go on to the next top.
Until you find one that works for you?
Yeah. And then when one works for you, then you're like, okay, this is the package that I like. Which probably is a mistake on my part, for at least not letting the other ones know, hey, that didn't work out for me. I don't really like that.
Because you don't want to bust their egos?
Because some of them don't really respond well to criticism.
Well, if you're not... I mean, the thing about... Okay. And this is...
Or maybe that's a preconception on my part.
Which is probably... Here's... Like, when I taught my class at a local fetish event, I got back a lot of... it was about half and half. And just teaching class on that. And then, of course, the politics got into it and things like that. So, and to me, I go like, well, there's always going to be some sort of naysayer. There's always going to be some sort of negativity floating around.
Nay.
What?
Nay. Sorry, we're off topic.
I get it.
Naysayers.
So, there's always going to be somebody who thinks that they can do a better job than I can.
Mm-hmm.
There's always
going to... Shut up, Vin. You're not on the radio.
There's always going to be somebody who thinks they can do a better job than I can. And a lot of it is, these keyboard... And I hate to say it, it's these keyboard jockeys.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who... Like, the class that I taught, it wasn't a disaster, but it wasn't a... It could have gone a little differently. My point being is that, and I always, this is my attitude.
For the reference, my blue kitty, totally said, yeah.
What? So, my point being that, it's like a car guy. So, of course, I go on these car boards, and every dude, that he has their car. Of course, it goes nowhere. So, everybody the keyboard jockeys on Fatlife. You know, you post a picture of whatever online. So you post a picture of like a knife, or you post a picture of rope, or you post, oh, well, I've got a better set of ropes, or I've got a bigger knife, or I'm better with the knife, you know, blah, 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 blah. But you never see them play, you never see them do anything, and they just kind of like flutter away. So, you know, the whole thing about, you know, being admitting you're wrong or admitting, you know, like, I find people who don't go, I don't know, or I've never done that before. And I think that you don't want to bruise that top's ego,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
especially
a lot of people.
When you're a bottom.
And a lot of people don't. And I think that.
Because I think in a lot of ways for the bottom, and this is just maybe me speaking out of my ass, but it kind of bursts the bubble. Like, when you're walking into it and you're doing negotiation and you're saying, I like X, Y, and Z, and please do that. And when they don't do X, Y, and Z exactly as you have imagined in your head, you're like, okay, well, that didn't work out. Let's move on to the next one. Instead of giving them actual feedback and saying, yeah, I probably should have said this, this, and this because I didn't know that you were going to do this, this, and this. Which is a fault on the bottom to not give feedback. But I think a lot of the times for the rest of us, let's say you give feedback and you say, hey, by the way, I didn't really like this, this, and this. In a way, it's almost like it destroys the fantasy. Because then, now the next time you play, your standards are going to be like, oh, is this okay? Oh, is this okay? Like some kind of crazy, fucked up vanilla relationship where you're like, do you want this more? Do you want this more? Is this okay? When you all you want them to do is just fucking A to B it.
Right.
You know? Don't quit, you know, don't ask me about 8.2.0. Just go through it. Like, this is the experience that I'm looking for.
And I know that I've discussed on numerous occasions that, you know,
does that make sense or do I sound like an asshole?
No, no, you're listening? No, you make perfect sense. The point is that, you know, like we were talking about before and like I've said, is that every guy, you know, has, or every top, or whatever the case may be, has their plan of action. And, like, that's what they do. Whether it's you, whether, like, if you're tying up a 400-pound woman, or you're tying up a 200-pound woman, or you're tying up a guy, or a child, or a dog, or a fucking pinata, it doesn't matter. You're doing the same thing. You're doing the pee-pee dance. No matter what it is, you're doing the same thing. And if you're working with different people and doing different, you know, the thing is like, if I do something with Miss Harlot, like, she might like different things than Miss Mood Poisoning is. Or if I do something with, you know, Person X, they're going to like something totally different. And I have to learn, as a top, to sway and adapt and find, like, the points. And I think, it's like sex. Like, you can't just fuck every girl the same way. Vin's making a face. Like, oh, really? Because I think I've been doing this wrong.
Then I don't think I've been doing something wrong.
But it's true. You got to find what works for them, and you got to find.
Well, if you're going to do it more than once.
Well. actually, somebody in our chat room, Amaya, said that the dom, one of her friends had a dom that would make her write down her likes and dislikes, kind of like, you know, keep a journal. Help and control the scene and, you know, get what needs and wants without feelings, like she was, you know, controlling the scene. That's awesome. And and the cool thing about that is, like, on that day, you know, or that scene or whatever the case may be, maybe you know, like, oh, this person had a really bad day. Or, you know, this person had a, you know, a wonderful experience. Or, you know, wow, they were, like, really, and I'm not saying this, you know, to that specific person, but wow, they were really drunk, or, you know, or, you know, they were sick the week before, something like that. So, like, keeping a journal and knowing kind of what works for you and what doesn't work for you, like, that's actually
a great idea.
That is a fantastic idea, especially if you're continuing to play with one specific person, where you can really hone in on what is going to work for that person and you know, over and over again. I think a lot of mistakes happen when things tend to get stale with that, you know, whatever relationship. So, for instance, like, you know, if I'm doing knives or I'm doing blades or I'm doing blood, whatever the case may be, you know, and I just, all I do is, like, cut this person's left arm. And I'm just making, you know, I'm just using it. And all I do is cut that person's left arm. Well, their entire rest of their body is, like, no thing. But I have perfected the left arm. Like, I know exactly where to cut. I know exactly what to do. I know what the sensation is. And, like, so it gets stale. So instead of moving on to the right arm or the leg or the torso, like, what I find people will do is, like, go deeper. So, like, well, I'm just going to go down to, like, a third layer of skin. And I'm going to start cutting stuff off. Instead of moving on to another part or moving on to something else or finding a new way to do that specific thing, it's like, I'm going to continue to do what I already know, but I'm going to continue to do it at a pace that's uncomfortable for all parties involved. Vince chowing down on some pizza, so he's a little preoccupied.
But I am agreeing.
He's agreeing. He's just nodding.
But it sounds like something this jackass would do.
Well, no, I don't. And I'm smart enough to realize that I can't continue to keep going in a certain spot or continue to do what it is that... What are you doing?
Can you forget which one is mine?
Is it wine?
Yeah.
Oh,
you're not done.
No. I'll drink it as I go.
It's champagne for your new place. Yay!
Yay!
Okay, back to your topic. I'll take this one.
Miss Mood Poison. We have lounge or bottle service. Well, I feel like I'm at one of those events that I hate so much that I don't have to pay, what, $800? What is it? $400 a person, something like that? $9,000 a person?
It's only like $80 a person. Not too bad.
Yeah, for a chair.
For a chair. Actually, no, that's the standing room.
Standing room. If you want a chair.
For a chair, it's an extra $1,000.
I got to sell my fucking car. Which sounds fucking amazing. I have to admit.
That actually sounded really fucking awesome.
I put a cat bag exhaust straight through exhaust on my car. It's loud as fuck. You'll know when I'm coming from now on. So anyway, so back...
We all know when you're coming. It's a disturbance from the dark side.
There's a disturbance from the dark side.
Got a great disturbance in the forest. There's
voices. A rainbow coming.
Rainbows. Rainbows. Iron away.
No, okay. I get where Miss Harlot's coming from, that maybe if your communication, maybe your chemistry with this person, where giving criticism to someone who's supposed to be your top kind of destroys the illusion of a power exchange, because then you would get that feeling like you're telling them what to do, rather than they're in control.
Well, them being a troll or you being a troll is really kind of relative, as long as they have guidelines that go by so you know you enjoy the experience.
Right, but I can see where she's saying, like, oh, you know, like, not being comfortable giving criticism. You know, because then it does kind of get rid of that whole, like, this person is, you know, they're in control. They're doing, you know... They're the top.
They're doing what they want to do, and I'm just going to deal with it.
Well, here, and you mentioned this before about protocol, that, like, for me, and whatever, I don't give a shit, you know. For me, I'm like, dude, I'm fucking bloodlust. Like, I don't have to fucking deal with your fucking insecurities and shit. Like, if I'm going to talk to somebody, I'm going to talk to somebody, and they're going to fucking deal with it. Because, like, I'm not going to, like, if I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to talk to you. I don't have to deal with your, like, fucking little... If your dom is so fucking insecure that he's afraid that, like... I don't want to bang your fucking 900-pound girlfriend. Like, she's falling out of her corset that's barely holding her fucking fat rolls in. Like, I'm not going to... But I'll be nice. I'll give her a hug. You're speechless.
I really got nothing to say to that.
But my point is, like, I don't think that's a mistake. Because I'm not... I don't expect anything different... I treat people in the lifestyle as I want to be treated. I have, like, so many people have gone up to Ms. Mood Poisoning and gone like, well, I know you're with him, so I don't know if I'm allowed to talk to him. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, don't touch her. Don't fucking, like, stick your hand up her skirt unless you're my uncle. Long
you
story.
You didn't mind if I did it.
Yeah, because I can stick my hand up your wife's skirt.
You heard him.
So, but you, I know
you.
I'm
not going to say so.
No, you don't. But I know you on a personal level. I would never disrespect your lady.
Yeah.
And you would never disrespect my lady.
Very true.
Okay. But the thing is, it's like, so I know that. And I don't think that anyone would come, like, in this lifestyle, if I go to an event where I know 96% of the people, I would expect people to show me the same respect that I would show them. So, like, but I don't know who, like, how do I know that that's your top and I'm not allowed to talk, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have a fucking sign or there's no billboard above your head. Like, I'm being friendly. That's what I am.
Well, yeah, but it's online, so you should automatically know.
Oh, because I have looked at your profile, read it extensively, and made notes. That way when I meet...
And I'm able to memorize things like that all the time.
It's,
for 1,000 people.
It's just, like, that kind of shit, you know, and that, to me, calling somebody, like, that's not a mistake on my part.
Yeah.
That's me being friendly, and that's me being me. And, you know, because guess what? I do a radio show, so maybe I'm talking to everybody about my, you know, radio show. Or, you know, maybe I'm just, like, saying, hey. You're looking at the screen intent. They're having a...
They're having a conversation? Okay.
They're introducing themselves.
Oh, okay, cool.
Reintroducing themselves. So, you know, I don't hold, like, we were talking about the Dom and hurting the Dom ego. Or the, you know, like, I don't have this, like, some sort of... If I didn't want anyone to talk to her, like, I'd fucking put a leash on her and lead her around or, like, make her hold my hand. She wants to hold my hand anyway. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
There's a line, and I think, you know, bruising that top... If me saying hello to somebody is going to bruise your ego, like, that's a mistake on your part, bro, or ma'am, or whoever the hell it is. You don't agree?
It's all about insecurities.
And I think when you have that insecurity, for instance, like, Vin and I played in the same room together.
Yeah.
Like, literally 4 feet away. And normally, when you put that much awesome in a room, there's going to be a competition. So, I'm sure, like, the people listening are going to be like, holy shit, like, they're in the same room doing their thing. You know, like, so I'm supposed to, like, you know, flay somebody, and he's, like, whipping them until, like, a fucking limb falls off. Like, it doesn't even come about that, because we're not going to bruise each other's ego. Like, we learn, it's under your foot. It's all right, just leave it. Where's the dog? We have a little dog.
Where's the mascot?
So the point is, it's like, okay, so like that, and we were literally 4 feet away from each other in a private setting where we could both see exactly what's going on the other side of the room. Now, you go to like a play party or you go to something like that, and, you know, these guys or these tops or these bottoms or these tops or these, you know, doms or whatever are going and doing things above and beyond to try to out-dom the next
dom.
Guy. And that, what's that?
Out-dom the other doms.
And just that's when
dom.
You...
Having a dom off.
Dom off. And that's when you make mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's when, because you're trying to be so perfect and you're trying to up the ante by so much, you're going to screw up something. Because... You're not paying attention to – is that yours? Or is that yours?
No, but
that was underneath your shirt.
I'm so fucking confused.
This Harlot has started stripping. The night's begun.
Yeah.
I didn't have to pay this time. I didn't have to pay a cover. There's no 2-drink minimum. Great. So I think, you know, when you're trying to up the ante, there's more if you want. When you're trying to up the ante to try to outdo somebody else, that's when you're going to make mistakes. Guys, you're listening to Taboo Fetish Talk. This is Tuesday Night Bloodshed. We've got Miss Harlot. We've got Vin. We've got the little dog. We've got food poisoning. So no one has called in yet because they're bastards, and everybody should fucking...
Blue Kitty, call in. Come
yeah,
on.
Someone should call in and tell
you
us about...
You got to give your aspect.
Yeah, my aspect?
His aspect.
His aspect?
He's a male bottom.
He's a male bottom?
That's seriously something we don't have right now.
Male bottom. Talk about bum kick. Never mind.
What's the number again?
Number is 213-943-3601. You know what's so funny? I call into everybody else's radio shows. They don't call into mine because I'm a bad guy.
No,
but,
they called when I was around.
Yeah.
They like me.
They so. Like Ben. But not today.
They don't know I'm here. You didn't say anything online, ever.
Yeah. I was slacking this week.
They didn't know until a half hour ago.
Yeah.
We knew about 4 hours ago. We could have done something.
4 hours. Oh, and we lost somebody else. Anywho. So, back to mistakes. I don't know. What else? What other mistakes can one make? We've covered, like, relationships. You know, we've covered, you know, mistakes in relationships. Or you could just change right here.
That's what I'm doing.
Sweet. Wow. Too bad I don't have a fucking webcam. There is webcam.
Oh,
but,
no webcam. I haven't changed.
Me neither.
She has her standards.
She has her standards.
Obviously, they don't follow my.
She's got a cute little butt, though.
I agree.
She's doing the Cameron Diaz thing with the little boy short things.
Right.
So we did that. What other mistakes can be made? We still have 45 minutes.
Trusting people too much before they've earned it?
Good call.
Oh, that's a big one.
Trusting me. Giving.
You got a little something right here. Like a lot of grease.
Grease. Giving somebody too much trust before they've earned it. Huh.
Yeah, I know. I pretty much opened the door on that one. But
you do?
No, open
your dog's
door.
Licking my shoes.
For me?
Yeah, for open conversation.
I know,
hell,
I feel about
that's
that.
Off. As far as I'm concerned.
So, what do you mean by that?
Well, okay, listen. You got two people that just met. And let me see. It ranges from them cutting their arms off to, he's now my master. Or I'm going to do exactly what he says, even though I don't know him.
All right, I'm going to take it a step further and say...
The four-hour masters?
Yeah, four-hour masters. There you go.
Not negotiating well. All
right, pause.
And this can range from...
Your dog is a shoe fetish.
Yeah, seriously.
The
no,
dog is a...
There's pizza in your shoe.
There's bacon in the shoe.
There's bacon in my shoe. All right, for a bottom, what this means, as far as I'm concerned, is not negotiating well. And a lot of times this means you don't know how to negotiate. And how to sniff out the wrong vibe. If you're a bottom who wants to be completely consumed, more power to you. Basically bordering slave. You want to be completely consumed, then negotiate that way. Have at it. Knock yourself out. But for the rest of us who are conditional on our trust giving, for better lack of a term.
Trust fall.
If you don't want to be 100% of the way consumed and fucking rip the flesh from your body or bones or, you know, a permanent maid, negotiate that way, you know, let them know, hey, this is for tonight only, and here's what I'm willing to give to you, and here's what I'm not willing to give to you. You know, be specific. The more specific you are, the better off you will end up at the end of this experience. If you leave too much out, you'll either wind up with a puppy, a master, or something that you just don't want at the end of it. Badly bruised, badly maimed. Too much trust, too much assuming is what I would actually lay terms to that. Don't assume.
Well, I think, and this is,
you know,
something that...
You want to play with somebody, watch them play with someone else first. You know, and go, hey, that, I want that to me. And nothing else.
I think a lot of the stuff, and I see it on FetLife all the time, you see somebody who is like single, just all of a sudden just single, and then 2 hours later they have a master, they're a slave to somebody, they're bottom, yeah, and then of course the typical piece on the profile is, before you talk to me, you have to message Lord Master Dom Cock, big man dude, because he's my owner and stuff. I'm like, what did he purchase you from the auction? Like, I don't understand how that.
What? Buy it now.
No, but really, like, okay. So instead, and this is like what I was talking before, people aren't afraid are afraid to go to that half piece, and it's intimidating. And I think, like, something that I've never done, something that I can specifically say, I've never intimidated anybody into doing anything. It's always been, you know.
I'll give you credit for that. You've been completely voluntary on everything I've seen you do.
I have never intimidated anybody into doing anything. You know, there are people out in the lifestyle now, especially locally, and I've heard a story, you know, especially and more on, you know, knife things where all of a sudden these guys just whip out a knife and like put it to somebody,
mm-hmm.
like on their neck or on their back or something like that. Now, holy shit! Like, I could never imagine myself strong arming somebody into automatically just like, I have the knife, or I have the blade, or I have the whip, or I have the chain, or whatever the case may be. So
then
now
you
do
what I say.
Now you will do what I say. And, you know, I think if you don't really know, and look, I mean, for me, like I said, it starts off very casual. It starts off very like, let's go have drinks, let's go have coffee,
mm-hmm.
let's talk, let me get to know you. And then if I decide as a top, because really, you know, if I decide, and there have been so many people that have come to me like gung-ho 100% and things like that. And as a top, I'm not for hire. I'm not a mercenary. So I want to see that other person, that bottom, play with somebody else as well,
mm-hmm.
know where they've been, what they've experienced, and things like that. And before that happens, I mean, and then of course there's that, you know, personal level and things like that, but to strong arm somebody, and that's like, that's not even a mistake, that's just
rude.
Well, not rude, but it's uncalled for. It's the wrong way to do it, and that's how somebody like yourself gets put into that position where they're like, holy shit, this really isn't for me. And the thing is, because you only experienced it at their hand. You've only experienced it because, come with me if you want to live, get to the chopper.
Get down.
The only thing is, and that's the only way you know, is that if I don't do what this person says, then I'm not in the lifestyle. I'm not the bottom.
Yeah.
Or I'm not submissive.
I'm not up to the right standard.
Mm-hmm. And I think people don't realize the differences between being, you know, especially these new people, don't really understand what a bottom is, what a
mm-hmm.
submissive is, and what a slave is. Like, when you give up total control, you're no longer a submissive. You're a slave. You know, when that person, that top, that master says, you know, jump, you say how high.
Mm-hmm.
And
which, not to knock them, there are people out there. And I know a couple, and they're fabulous. And that is what they want.
And how long
have... a relationship.
How long has that relationship lasted for those people?
2 months, the most.
The most. Well,
now, I know a lot of slaves out there that have been having relationships with the same master for years.
But it never started that way.
No.
It can't start that way. It's kind of what I was getting at. It can progress to that. I have seen the... lay down, and that person is on the floor. I have seen the, go get, you know, fetch this, get that, you know, and it's so funny because it doesn't need, oh, wow. Rude.
You don't have to mind.
But it never starts like that. And that, and the funny thing is, I hate to say it, but if you're in that kind of relationship, it doesn't need to be said. It's understood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you know, but that's not even a mistake. That's just uncalled for. I mean, it really is just uncalled for. And I find that it's usually an older dom, an older male dom. And I have heard of females.
I say it, but it's true. I mean, there's a reason that I have disclaimers on my fucking profile
mm-hmm.
for people over the age of 40. And I hate to say it as a stereotype across the board, but everyone I've met over that age has a certain 1950s program in their head. And I don't fit that. I don't.
Really.
And I never will. And Yeah, my husband will attest to it. I am not that girl. And I have it on my profile, and I know it sounds bitchy. I know it sounds horrible, but it's true. Like, 90% of the messages that I get for people over the age of 40 is, and they don't even bother to read my profile. It's, come shine my shoes, or come clean my house, or, you know, they don't pay any attention to anything that's on your other than the fact that you're submissive or bottom or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's very frustrating.
And I'm going to touch on something in our chat room. Maydays. Maydays has said that the problem is you fall into this assumption that just because they're older, they're experienced.
Yeah.
The funny part about that, and a huge female, okay, good, Miss Maydays, is that a huge mistake that a lot of people make is not checking references. And
mm-hmm.
Not even references. Let's say that the person is so new that they don't have references. And I'm not knocking new people. I'm never going to knock new people because we were all new at some point. And you have to establish yourself. But the thing is if the experienced person is new and but claims to be experienced, and the first thing they want you to do is like come over to their house, enter through the back door, please, and leave your shoes, you know, and sundress, you might want to, you know, any experienced person. And in this area, I think the people in this room, we know the experienced person. If we're not that experienced person at that particular juncture, whatever that crossroad is for that person looking to do X, Y, and Z. But, you know, it's funny because, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. If Vin and I have no idea who this person is, they don't exist. They're not on the radar. They don't. And that's not
fine. If they're from another area, at least a FetLife name of somebody from their area.
Well, my point is, it's not even like a...
if they're completely new on the scene, don't be a jackass and tell somebody to come over to your house completely unannounced. Show up at a fucking public event.
And even if you can't do that for whatever reason, and I have no problem... Like, the thing is go meet somebody over coffee. Go meet somebody over a beer. You know, it doesn't always have to start with, wear this collar and blah, 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 blah. You know, if you can't interact with,
no,
and I hate.
I found you because you RSVP'd to an event I was planning on going to.
Mm-hmm.
I messaged you. We met up at
and
the
had
event.
That night go.
Fabulous, by the way. and then later on, we had drinks before I ever came to your house.
Mm-hmm.
We'd been at least two public places to where I felt safe.
Well, and Amaya in the chat room has said, you know, there has to be some sort of personal responsibility on the bottom sub, whatever, you know, take time before they play, where if you are, I hate to say it, but if you are automatically running to someone's home naked, you know, to go play with that person after talking to them, you know, for 6.5 minutes. Yeah, you're asking for trouble. And, you know, a lot of what people don't realize is that there is always going to be a personal responsibility. I don't if you are the bottom and your top messes up, there is personal responsibility on both parties. So if you can't really, I know what you're talking about with that candle wax fiasco. It is, I don't want to get into it. That's needles and wax, and that was awful. That was just bad. That wasn't a mistake. That was above and beyond anything that ever should have happened. It was bad. There are so many fingers to be pointed about that. But
if you're gonna play with somebody for the first time, dear God, don't you blood play? Or I mean, hell, even you and I, there was no blood play.
No, there's never going to be. Well, that for numerous reasons, obviously.
Yeah.
But my thing about I forgot what the fuck I was going with the topic, but my point is that you know, the personal responsibility, is that there's definitely personal responsibility on everything. I think people fail to realize that. And the funny thing was, what I was going to mention is the first time that Miss Harlot and I were going to get together, turned out that like some weird thing happened, and I didn't really get much of a chance to interact with her. It was. It was a 2 hour fucking weird thing. And but the funny thing is like my ego
two
was
2 hours, among which maybe 20 minutes were one on one.
Oh.
It was something that it's just odd. And of course
it is not a regularity.
And the funny thing is, I'm there and I'm perfectly fine. I'm like, hey, no problem, whatever. And I'm cool, calm, and collected. It wasn't like I grabbed her by the arm and tried to drag her away for
no,
any reason.
I had to fucking find him.
this is
Paul,
Max,
by the way, at the castle.
Yeah, it used to be. Now everybody knows. Yeah. I was back in my heyday when I thought
no,
it was a fake shot.
You're fucking hiding in the shadows and watching.
Back when you thought you were a big shot?
That was back when I'm not really a big shot anymore. Too many people know me. They know like I'm an idiot 90% of the time.
That's true.
But my point is that I had my ego in check, and then I was like, you know, when you get the chance, you come find me. And it actually turned out to be like a help me situation. Like, you know, she had the white flag. She was waving the.
Seriously.
Yeah. So, we do have our first caller 90 minutes
Yay!
Into the show. Fucking lazy ass people. I don't know. We'll find out. 786. 786 is where?
I don't even know that one.
I don't know. You're going to have to tell us. You're on Taboo Fetish Talk with Blood with a bunch of us peoples.
Hi, this is May. 786 is actually South Florida.
Okay. I thought it was like
welcome.
It's... Hello.
Hey, May.
How are you guys?
South Florida. Or is that just a code on your cell phone?
Get into personal.
Why are you asking about it? Maybe she wants to be mysterious.
You want you want her phone number? You want to fucking call her at night and masturbate?
Thanks.
Probably wouldn't be the first time.
Oh,
giggle. I do have a story. It was kind of like one of those newbie stories that you can probably tell people and, you know, learn from a little bit. It was my first time doing, I had not been that experienced chopping. And I knew someone, you know, a friend. So they, you know, basically, you know, they did a lot of bottoming and, you know, the friend had someone else. So she was a dom. And the whole thing was that they were going to do something. They were going to do a scene. I was just going to watch. So everything's going great. Midway through, she decides to give me the reins. She's like, here, I'm going to go do something else. You take over. And I'm like, I can't do this. And he was like, okay, go ahead. You know, so I was like, oh, I'm nervous. I can't do this. You know, I'm going very light. I'm not, you know, I'm being very, very gentle. And then I hear people screaming, almost screaming in my ear in the dungeon. And they're like, harder, hit him harder, hit him harder. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, I'm trying to block it out, and I keep going, and you know, apparently it was, you know, I was told by him not to use a certain type of toy, and well, I didn't realize that the toy that I was using kind of fell into that category, so it just went from being kind of awkward and bad to worse, you know, the bottom completely broke down, I'm freaking out, the dominant that's supposed to be there is, like, spaced out. So it's just this big entire show, and I'm just, like, freaking out. It's my first time pretty much chopping. So, you know, I was having this big panic moment, and she was able to come in, and it wasn't the best. I mean, he was a little mad at me for a while, and I think it was forgiven. I think he took responsibility for it because he realized that I wasn't as experienced. But I know that I should have kind of been, like, oh, not ready for this. So that's kind of what happened when I was supposed to be ready and thought, okay, well, maybe I should do it. But I didn't trust my gut instincts, and that was just like a big fiasco. So it kind of put me off from topping for a while. And so I've learned a little bit to just sit back.
I go, learned.
I was just going to say that.
The person should have stuck around and been right over top of your ass if you were going to be topping them.
Well, yeah. Here's the problem. Here's the biggest problem in that. Is that the scene was not negotiated with you?
Yeah.
You were just like, here, do, and I like me. I am like, I will not co-top. I will not co-top. I do not want to co. I like don't. when this is between me and this person, or me and these people, or whatever the case may be, and that is it. So, you know, for somebody to negotiate a scene and then abandon the scene, number one, you know, that's not, that's just, you can't just abandon the scene. You can't abandon the bottom. And then to hand it over to somebody else who really doesn't have a grasp of what's going on and isn't really comfortable with it and has made it known that they're not comfortable with it, that was just an all.
I wouldn't call that a recipe for disaster. I believe I was supposed to come in, like, it was okay that I was co-topping, but it wasn't okay that I was, I didn't, you know, I wasn't expected to take control. Basically, they were going to do a scene, and if I, after observing them, if I felt comfortable enough, I would do it. And that was okay, but it was kind of like, you know, there goes my safety net, and I'm left with, you know, a toy man, what do I do? And I wasn't experienced, and now I know the classification of toys. So that helped me out a lot. But it was just one of those oopsies that was a big oops, and, you know, it turned out pretty badly.
Now, May, can you hear me? Hello? May?
Yes, sorry.
Okay. I would not call that your mistake on any scale of the scenario. That was the original top mistake. Like, that should not have happened. That should not have fallen upon you. I would call that their mistake. Like, that's a classic cluster that just dropped on you.
The only thing that she could have done and she should have done, and I'm not saying, I mean, we're talking about the past, and like everybody sitting here, everybody listening has made mistakes, is, you know, don't be afraid to say no. You know, just go, I'm not going to do it. So many people, especially for me, they're like needles. I don't know why. I guess they figure because I like to poke things into people that I like to, and I will always say no. I don't like it. I won't do it. No.
I saw when you tried it.
Vin was there. Yeah, it wasn't fun.
It was special.
So
holy shit.
You so you what?
No, I'm just reading.
Oh, so you went. So you did that. And about how long was it before you kind of got your wits back about you to be able to go back into topping somebody?
It was about a couple months. I really didn't have the opportunity again, and this time it was with someone who I knew well, who I trusted. It was very, you know, negotiated. It was more of an emotional kind of thing because it was with, you know, someone that I knew well. So it took a couple months. I was still kind of nervous about it, but it wasn't like the same scene that I had. It was very mild. It was more in the bedroom, very light. It wasn't in the middle of a dungeon with me, you know, and a bunch of observers in the background trying to tell me what to do.
And something that you just said that was also mentioned in our chat room is that there's always, you know, the peanut gallery.
Yeah.
There's always the... you know, the people standing back going harder and, you know, do this or use this. And I've seen that before. And it gets kind of messy. You know, definitely when you're involved in whatever you're doing, you know, the smart thing to do is to kind of keep your scruples about you and really focus in on you and exactly what's going on. And, you know, other people, the problem is that some of these people aren't as educated as some of the other people out there and doing, you know, whatever it is, and they tend to get more wrapped into the showmanship of it or the extreme aspect, even though they're not really involved. So that's another. What are you laughing at?
You rock dumb. Not that good, but it's a hell of a show.
That's fun.
Wow.
Did you hear that?
Awesome. Can anybody hear that? Because that was classic.
Hey, wait, did you hear that?
Yeah, I wasn't able to hear it.
Can anyone hear that?
Oh, she said...
Miss Mood Poisoning just said, I'm the David Lee Roth of Dom. Not really that good, but it's a hell of a show.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, you've learned from that mistake. And the cool thing is, and I know this is something that I kind of I don't mean this in any kind of negative or insulting way, but, you know, talking Miss Harlot, down from the ledge, and she's like, no more fetish, I'm going to jump off, you know, and
yeah.
And you obviously didn't do that either.
Kudos to you, by the way. Right.
Thank you. I mean, I also had another incident was that, I mean, it wasn't, I would say a mistake, more of like an oops, I don't know, kind of like a light mistake, when I was bottoming for the first time in public. I mean, me and my partner had negotiated a scene and everything was going to go well. I was going to be bent over. I had a Catholic schoolgirl uniform on. We were probably going to do role play like that. That kind of wasn't negotiated. So he starts flogging and it's fine. And I've never bottomed in public, so I didn't think that I would have such an emotional reaction, but he started flogging me harder and I started getting angry. And then he started like trying to get into the role play, like the headmaster thing, and I wasn't buying it, and I kept just getting more angry until he kept hitting it, and he kept asking me, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm fine. You know, I'm just thinking, you know, I'm in the middle of the scene. It's only about 5 minutes. I should be able to hold on a little longer." But I just got so angry that I was in tears, and I had enough. Like, I had never been so angry before. And that's kind of when I realized, oh, I get angry sometimes when I'm being spanked or I'm being flogged. And I kind of had to learn that in public. And no, not that I had to, there was a big audience, but for me that was like, oh, okay. I was kind of like an oops in the sense that I should have stopped when I started feeling angry before I got livid. And also that I should kind of, you know, be more aware to what to expect. Could have played more, you know, with my partner in the bedroom.
And
I'm just starting it with bottoming in public.
You should totally hang out.
You are not alone on that. There are a lot of bottoms who have had unexpected emotional reactions to a toy in public. You're not alone. There are so many. And
I told
you
I wouldn't use that sock puppet anymore.
Shut up. I hate that sock puppet. There are so many people who do not know their triggers. I'm one of them. There are triggers that I am not aware of.
What's up, trigger?
One of them has to be alcoholism. And
alcoholism.
In which case, I could think my husband is every single person I've ever dated in the past except him. And I will headbutt him and fight him and have emotional reactions with people that are not him. It's not unusual. It's an emotional display. it's unexpected, and you can't predict that.
And she's gone.
We got hanged up on. Yeah, that's okay.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, May, for calling in.
Thank you, May.
Her battery died. We weren't done. You're very cute, by the way. You sound very cute.
I'm heading
to South Florida probably next weekend.
He's probably going to Massachusetts.
Find us on FetLife.
Yeah. So we can meet up.
I'll take you
for a ride.
You are not alone on that. There are so many people who find hidden triggers in the strangest places. And that's, again, yes, it can be considered as a mistake if you're the person in it because you don't know ahead of time. But to be fair, you don't know. You have no clue. That's just how it plays out. That's how you find out more about yourself. That's what this whole thing is fucking about, is a trusted group that understands.
Well,
that's a community. It's a community of people who get it.
My ex was notorious for this. We would do X, Y, and Z, and after it was done, she would shut herself down. And I don't know if she was angry, I don't know if she was sad, I don't know if she was happy, she would totally shut herself down. And instead of communicating with me about it, she would run to somebody else, talk to this person about it, and get the answers and things like that, and then go, oh.
To be fair, sometimes it's hard to go to your top, because that's what you want as your outlet.
But when I'm doing that kind of intense thing,
you want to be the recipient, which I get.
I need to be, because that's dangerous. it's a danger level for me. And the thing with her that I found to be her mistake was that she wouldn't report back to me. She would figure out what was going on with her, and I'd still be left in the dark.
Okay.
So
after she figured it out, after she wrapped her head around it, bounced it off of somebody else, she still wouldn't tell you?
She would go to somebody else, somebody that we all know,
okay,
talk to this person, and then this person would be like, I think you're getting in the zone. I think you're coming to terms with everything. I think you're going in the right direction. She would go, you're an asshole. The dog just farted on me.
So were you saying you're an asshole to her or to the dog?
To the dog. No, the dog's an asshole. So anyway, so instead of her going like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, you know, 2 nights ago or whatever it is when you were asking me what was wrong and I didn't know and I didn't respond, here is what was going on. This is what I enjoyed. This is what I didn't enjoy. This is what was good. This is what wasn't good. I really don't want to do this again. she would just let it go. She was able to wrap her head around it, but I'm still left out, you know, left out in the dark. I have no idea what's going on.
Or where to go from there.
Right.
Therapeutically, play-wise, or anything else.
It didn't matter. I mean, if there's one thing that you know just as good as anybody else that I've ever played with is that my aftercare is spectacular.
Yes, it is.
Who's that? Is that May?
No.
Who's that?
Oh, Kiki and Popular.
Oh, Kiki and Popular? Oh. Made this only case for the sake of pride. Oh, you understand what I was not. Exactly. And I think, like, you know, you don't want to, May just said, you don't want to tap out, you know, because it's like a sign of weakness. But it's.
That's what you feel like on either side.
Yes. But, you know, opening that level of communication and realizing.
Because even at the bottom, you feel like you're being challenged. You're rising to whatever someone's asking of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to be the asshole that goes prematurely, you know, or God forbid red, and well, actually not even red. Once you hit red, you've decided like this has to end right now.
Well,
but if you're screaming yellow prematurely, you feel like a pussy. Like you want to rise to the occasion. You want to feel whatever this experience is supposed to give you. And a lot of times, you know, as a bottom, you feel the pressure of it, whether it's from the peanut gallery, from the dom, from the experience, and you don't want to fall short. You don't want to puss out. You know, this is what you signed on for. This is lifestyle. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's a big misconception, especially when you're young or when you're with a new dom that's exciting or you know, you don't want to fall short. You don't want to be stepped aside just because you can't handle as much as they think you can handle. And it's a very common misconception.
Well, there's plenty of time for everything.
What I would say for everyone who's thinking that same thing, and to myself as well, it's okay to scream yellow. It's okay. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll move on to another toy. They'll move on to another amount of discomfort,
right?
Which is completely agreeable.
Work on a different part of the body.
Work on a different part of the body. It's okay. It's okay to scream yellow. It's okay.
For me as a top and a sadist as far as it goes is like I've never had anyone scream red. I've never had anybody go red. Have I had somebody go yellow? Quite a few times. To me, that's where I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm doing is I'm pushing limits. I'm mm-hmm. still getting the intensity where I need to be, but I've never had to carry somebody into the emergency room.
In my opinion, what yellow means for me is I need dialogue.
Sure.
Yellow means I have been pulled out of this fantasy life. I am now uncomfortable, you know, in whatever interval, in whatever toy, whatever I'm in the middle of at that specific moment, it means I've been pulled out. Come help me pull back in.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be back in my sub-state. I want to be in a happy place.
Right.
Come talk to me. And I will tell you exactly how to get me there because that's where we both want to be.
And that's like a limbo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're, you know, to me, and that's that pushing the edge, pushing the envelope. It's getting, pushing the limit. And you know that you haven't hit that limit yet because it's yellow. You'll know when you hit that limit because it's red.
Yeah.
But the thing is you know, if you're always in the green and you're always doing this and you're always doing that, then that's fine. And that's perfect. Especially when you're doing things with somebody that you've done it with before, whatever the case may be. But and of course everybody has their different limits and things like that. But it's that lack of dialogue, that lack and being afraid to do X, Y, and Z.
But I consider like any, okay, you're dealing with a top and a bottom. Your goal, your objective is headspace.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're aiming to get someone to a place that is surreal. In my opinion, it is the bottom's job to let the top know, hey, we're not headed there. We were there, and then we veered.
Mm-hmm.
If you're veering, speak up. In that specific instance, we're veering. Let's head back. The top wants to be there too.
Right.
Like that's it's the same goal. It's the same place. You're not honestly looking to put you in a place that you don't want to be.
And not only that, but how often have you seen or heard, and I know that I have, is like the top and the bottom are fighting each other. Mm-hmm. They're like in constant conflict because they don't want to come to that. Of course, it's that brattiness from the from the bottom.
Well, yeah, there's a brattiness. There's a Samness. But in the same, even with a Sam, even with a brat, you're still aiming for the same place. She can fucking trash talk all she fucking wants, right?
But I mean,
trash talk. But fucking throw out the word.
But I don't mean that.
When you're aiming away.
I don't mean that. What I mean is that like, you go in with a thing, you go in with that idea like, well, I'm invincible. That girl can't hurt me. And then, or the top going in, like, I'm going to fuck this person up, you know? I mean, imagine if I went in with that attitude. Like, I'd be doing 25 to life right now.
Yeah, if you went in with that attitude, I'd be probably skinned on your shower curtain.
Yeah, and then, you know, of course.
Along with mood poisoning.
And then, of course, you know, like.
More than once.
Like, the bottom going, well, you can do anything you want to me, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, I'm down to the bone, and you're going to die. So, you know, that's what I mean as far, not the smart-ass Matt, you know, the people who are not going to the same area, not, ooh. What? Not.
Do we need to address something?
No.
What you got?
Made that mistake and actually didn't say anything, apparently.
On which end, honey?
Bottom.
Bottom or top?
Bottom. Top. It doesn't matter. I don't know.
Either way. Pride can be a vicious, horrible thing in this community,
lifestyle. Big bottom. Talk about
pride. You know, you can go, you know what? I can take it. I saw the girl before me. I could totally take that. And when you're in the scene, they could use a toy that just doesn't ring true with you. They can use a technique that just doesn't work well with you. They can use a phrase that fucking triggers something. And before you know it, you're in the midst of an entire emotional breakdown, and you're ready to call the scene. And the top has no fucking clue what just happened, whether it was the toy, the technique, phrase, nothing.
Well, in like my line of work, people come in and ask me all the time, going like, "What's the best thing?" You know, and they say, "Well, I want that." And their, you know, their body structure is different than the next guy, different than my body structure. And it's really, I have to tailor their specific product to them. no matter if it's $100 or $1,000 or anything in between, you know, I mean, you'd be surprised how many, you know, people find that the most comfortable thing is something that's relatively inexpensive. The point is that, you know, you can't tailor every scene based on one specific bottom or one specific top.
No.
I tell every person that goes
or one specific fantasy. Let's even go more specific.
Right.
You may have one idea in mind coming into this lifestyle. You know what? This is what gets me off. This is what I'm looking for. This interaction.
and you would be grossly mistaken. Because every single interaction, every single experience, every person is going to give you a different feel. You know, even that super amazing, wonderful hot scene that you and I had, crotchless panties and fucking razor blades, right? Like Sweeney Todd, razor blades. Hot. Could Vin and I have that scene? Probably. Would it feel the same way? Would it have the same appeal? Would it have the same experience? No.
I'm a person.
Fucking brand spanking new. And that was one of the hottest scenes I have ever had. Across the board. And I'll tell anybody who wants to listen to that. That was an awesome scene. Because of where I was at, mentally, emotionally. Could you and I have that scene today? Yeah. Would it feel the same way for either one of us?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
Oh, because we've been there and done that before.
Exactly.
Now we have to look at something else. But not only that, like, and I say this all the time, I have had my run-ins with No Limit masochists.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody thinks that they can do whatever I can, you can't.
No.
You cannot. Like, I stabbed a girl. I fucking put a knife in her back. I did. It felt amazing, and that's it. Would I do that to anybody else on the planet? Probably not. Except that guy I stabbed.
Even, well, and I've lectured you this on numerous occasions, and you know this. You can't go home again. Could you stab that exact same girl in the back the exact same way?
Nope. It will never happen again.
Ever again. No. It's a one-lifetime experience. That's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Could you stab someone else in a different place?
Mm-hmm.
In a different way? And feel completely more satisfied? Yes. 100% yes. Because it's a new experience. It's a new home. You can't go home.
No, you can't.
I'm doing quotes with my fingers.
Yeah.
Again.
You can't, I don't know, you can't live the same moment twice.
And I lectured you that before you messaged Crazy Bucket.
Well, she's
just saying.
And you know what? Whatever. That's a mistake. But
reviewing mistakes.
We are reviewing mistakes. I have reviewed. We're going to wrap things up here on Taboo Fetish Talk, The Bloodshed Tuesday night. I want to thank our caller, Maydays. Very cute. Find me on FetLife.
Send me a message and say hello again.
Yeah. I'm going to be down in the South Florida area tooling around for numerous reasons. If there's a Fetish Factory party, I probably won't. I might go. I don't know. Maybe.
He's on the show. Sorry.
So we've got... Azul Gato, Amaya, the Fossil,
a fuckle, really?
A couple of guests in the room.
Actually, our friend V is on there right now too.
V.
Different V.
Okay, hi V.
She knows who she is.
She know. I would hope so. I have no idea who I am. Anyway, it's been a great show. Tell your friends if you have any. We do this every Tuesday from now on.
Unless he's moving again.
Unless I'm moving again, which I don't think so. Oh, there's one this Saturday, so I guess I'm not going to that one. But anywho,
what is?
Find us on Twitter. Find me on Twitter. It's Bloodlust0, the number 7. I don't know if Vin has a Twitter anymore. He probably does.
They still have Twitter?
I
just started. It was interesting.
You can find Miss Mood Poisoning on Twitter, on FetLife. You can find all of us on FetLife. Miss Harlot, Vin, 1980, Bloodlust with Zeros, and then Miss Mood Poisoning. I think it's just Mood Poisoning.
Just Mood Poisoning.
And it's been fucking unreal, dudes and chicas. So we're signing off. So take it sleazy.